which we have heard this day with our outward ears, may by through your grace be so grafted in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This has not happened to me, but it's happened to people I know. There are times when a doctor has to say to his patient painfully, if you don't trust me, or if you're not willing to follow my medical guidance and how to get better, then why are you wasting my time and your time and money? No doubt it's rare that a doctor has to say this to his or her patient, because most of the time, a person who is that recalcitrant probably doesn't go to the doctor in the first place. But this illustration does emphasize a need of trust between a doctor and his patient. In this morning's reading from Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas are seeking to strengthen the Christians in Derbe and Antioch. They're seeking to strengthen the spiritual health of believers they work with. And as we say that, they're seeking to strengthen. Even Paul and Barnabas couldn't strengthen somebody's faith, just like I can't strengthen your faith. I can seek to do it, but I can't do it by myself. They desire the Christians in these cities to be strengthened by their example, strengthened by the message of the gospel, and strengthened by the leaders they appointed in each of these cities. So my first point is, Paul and Barnabas strengthen the Christians they are ministering to by their example. One of the ways they set an example is that Paul was stoned and left for dead. And once he gets up, comes to consciousness, he gets up and moves on to another town ministering the gospel. He could have become extremely discouraged. After all, they tried to kill him. But instead, he was encouraged to keep on persevering in his work for the Lord. Encouraged. That's one of these words that has a word within it. Encourage has the word courage in it. Encourage means to inspire with courage, spirit, and hope, to hearten, to spur on and stimulate someone. The residents of the same city that one day, last week's lesson, were worshiping Paul as a god, the same city's inhabitants were trying to kill him. Talk about going from hero to goat. Paul could have thrown in the towel, but he maintained his commitment to Christ and his calling to be a herald, a proclaimer of the gospel. And by his example of perseverance, he was an encouragement to the fellow believers to imitate and copy him. And so if you think at a certain point in your life, what is the use of this Christian life? Remember, you not only have a commitment to the Lord, but your very example affects fellow believers. And so we must remain faithful to the Lord through difficulties and persecutions. And if Paul could do it, so could the other believers. If I can do it, so can you. And if you can do it, so can I, by the grace of God. And so Paul and Barnabas strengthen Christians by their example. Secondly, Paul and Barnabas strengthen Christians by the message which they preached. Acts 14:22 says this, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Notice the phrase that is used here, encouraging them to continue in the faith. It is the Christian faith which Paul and Barnabas are preaching, which was later written down in the writings of the New Testament, in this book of Acts, and in the epistles. John Stott says concerning the Christian faith that, quote, it is a recognizable body of doctrine, a cluster of central beliefs which the apostles taught, end of quote. It includes the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, which is that there is one God eternally existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Within the doctrine of the Trinity is also included the person of Jesus Christ, who is truly God and truly man. The gospel also includes the work of each person of the Trinity for our salvation. God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, sends His Son for our salvation. God the Son became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He lived a fully righteous life without sin. He died on the cross for our sins and is raised on the third day. He ascends into heaven and is coming to judge the living and the dead. The Holy Spirit inspired the Scriptures and is conforming believers individually and as a body of Christ into the image of Jesus Christ. Now you may say, Cedric, you've just been using the outline of the Apostles and Nicene Creed. Bingo, you are correct. And even though the Apostles and Nicene Creeds do not have authority in and of themselves, just because Christian churches have used them, but they do have authority because they are an accurate summary of what the Scriptures teach. As Article 8 of the 39 Articles of Religion, the doctrinal statement of the Reformed Episcopal Church, says this about the creeds. The Nicene and the Apostles' Creeds are thoroughly to be received and believed, for they may be proved of most certain warrants of Holy Scripture. We confess and believe the creeds because they accurately teach what Scripture teaches. The creeds also serve another important function for believers. From time to time, I get questions from you or from other Christians. How do I summarize the whole teaching of Scripture? And I realize that it is a daunting task, but the creeds are useful as an outline in witnessing about what Christians believe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for our salvation. Let us also notice that Paul and Barnabas are urging Christians to persist and persevere in the Christian faith. Their perseverance is to occur in the midst of many difficulties. The text says that it is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. The presence of tribulations in this life is a reminder that we live in a world cursed by sin, damaged by the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and the world damaged by our sin and the sins of others around us. We are still threatened by such things as earthquakes, storms, and yes, illnesses. Yet we somehow believe that civilization can conquer the wilderness. But when the wilderness comes to us, we do not seem to be able to conquer it by our own thoughts and our own desires. I genuinely hope that solutions are found for our current wilderness that is threatening us with this virus, and I believe in due time it will be. But our problem with the hostile wilderness is that it remains. After Corona, something else. This life that we live is not all there is. And that's part of the wisdom of ordering our lives aright before God. We have a Lord who will walk with us into the wilderness and will protect us and our faith in Him as we journey through it. That is not to say storms won't come. They will. Sickness will come. But God is with us in it. And when we die unto the Lord, and we are welcomed into his eternal kingdom through Christ and faith in him. The wilderness will never be gone from this life. There is nothing wrong with trying to adapt to it and limit its damage. But if we do not read this wilderness in a higher way from God's way, we're missing the most vital fact. In the face of the threatening of this world, we should be driven to prayer and repentance. And even there, we need to be careful. Let's be focused about the ultimate reason we pray to the Lord and repent of our sins. We do not pray and repent as a way to solve our problems. Rather, prayer and repentance are for addressing our greatest and final need, that without God we can do nothing, and that we are to rely on God's work for us and to cooperate in God's work in us. We're not made simply to subsist in this world and to keep on going and flourishing as best as we're able. We're meant to be sons of God, and we can only become that by drawing close to the one unique, eternal Son of God, trusting in him through times of peace and when the wilderness is found in our midst. And so Paul and Barnabas strengthen the Christian believers by the message they preached, the only good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Third, Paul and Barnabas strengthen the churches by appointing leaders. Acts 14:23 says this, "When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." In this passage, we have Paul and Barnabas teaching the faith to believers, which led to the establishment of churches and then to the appointment of leaders in these churches. Titus 1:5 says this, Paul writing to Titus, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." The Greek word for elder can also be translated presbyter. Paul and Barnabas did their part to appoint leaders in every church, making sure that the work of the church was given to faithful men who would be faithful in teaching the Christian faith in its fullness. Later on in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, the Apostle Paul would lay down a set of qualifications for bishops, presbyters, and deacons. Much of the qualifications have to do with lifestyle traits, godly character. The one ministry qualification is that a bishop, presbyter, or deacon would be able to teach. Being able to teach means that the man to be appointed as a leader know the Christian faith and be able to communicate it. Knowing the faith is not the same thing as being able to communicate it. In other words, being able to teach includes knowing the Christian faith, but being able to speak about the faith with others in an effective way. But they did more than just appoint elders. Paul and Barnabas recognized that they could not strengthen believers by themselves. It required God's sovereign power and presence to keep his people firm to the end. And our text says that Paul and Barnabas commends them to the Lord. Paul and Barnabas trusted in the presence of the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of these believers. There would come a time when Paul and Barnabas would no longer be physically present with them. And it's here that we must also recognize that we need to commend one another to the Lord. just as a parent trains a child, and eventually that child becomes an adolescent or an adult, the parent has to step back and let his child, his adult child, make decisions. We need to let them spread their wings and fly. In letting a child, whether physical or spiritual child, grow up, we need to continue praying for them and commending them to the Lord, that God may continue to give them the gift of perseverance. Yes, even in the midst of difficulties. In the midst of a world which either wants to ignore or deny the saving reality of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is unique in that he is God, and because he is God, and everywhere at once, we can commend one another to him, who is the shepherd and the bishop, the overseer of our souls. Let us pray. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and by his grace give us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage our hearts and strengthen us in every good deed and word. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.